gonna let it shine, this little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine, this little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Well, is it? Is your light shining? Isn't it crazy how one little light can have such a big impact that can draw our eyes right to it? It's amazing the contrast what light brings. It's so extreme and so bold all at the same time. And so today, we're going to ask ourselves this simple question. Is your light shining? Do you have a light that is shining in your life? And what is the source of that light? What type of light is shining behind your mask? And so I want to welcome you today. We're so glad that you're joining us as we close out our Behind the Mask series. And for those of you that, you know, maybe have just kind of started or this is your first time joining us today, don't worry, this series isn't political. There might be a little bit of politics today, but it's not going to be political. It's spiritual. It's very personal as we're asking this question of what is truly going on behind our mask? Because we've all gotten really good. We've kind of figured out how to put on a front, how to kind of put on a facade for the world. We've gotten really good at this principle that we see in 1 Samuel 16 of how man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. We can fool everyone right in the room, but we cannot fool God. He sees right through it. And so we're asking ourselves the question of what's truly going on behind these masks that we're wearing? What's truly stirring inside of our lives, inside of our souls? What type of virtues are stirring up inside of us? And here at Miles City, we have these five key virtues that help us go about our vision of helping people move towards God. And we truly believe that if we apply these virtues in our lives, it's just flat out better for us. Why? Because we look more like Jesus. And when we look more like Jesus, our lives are better, and those lives that are around us and surrounding us, they're better as well. And so we've been going over these five key virtues. Here are our virtues. We've got extra mile. We've talked about audacious care, seethe and serve. Maki did a great job last week of tenacious teachability. And if you missed any of our talks, I want to encourage you to go on our website, review them, especially if you call Miles City Church your home, because these virtues are key in helping us accomplish our vision. But today, as we close out, we're going to dive into our last virtue here called contagious joy. Contagious joy. Say that with me wherever you're watching. Contagious joy. And here's our definition of contagious joy. It says this: we choose to bring a spirit of positive enthusiasm with gratitude in our hearts and smiles on our faces. Whether we are introverts or extroverts, we choose to display the joy of Christ within us. So no matter if you are an extrovert and you're the life of a party personality and you've been struggling in this season because there's not as many get-togethers, or if you're an introvert and you'd be okay if we just stayed quarantined for the rest of our lives, it doesn't matter if you're an introvert or an extrovert. We all have the ability and the choice to spread contagious joy, the Spirit of God just spreading out all around us. And so we're going to be asking ourselves this question of how are we doing with that? What's truly shining out of us? Is the light, is the joy of God truly coming out of us? And how do we allow that to shine out even brighter in our lives? But before we dive into that, I want to pray for you, pray for me, and we'll continue. Father, thanks for joining us here online today. And I just ask that whoever's watching, wherever they're watching, God, that you would help us all to just stay in tune for what you have for us today. Help us not to miss it. Help us not to waste this time. Father, control my mind and my speech as I communicate. I pray this in the power of your son's name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, listen, I want to invite you to open up a copy of the scriptures or turn it on your phone to the book of Matthew. This is a book that was written by a man named Matthew who followed around Jesus and told the story of Jesus' life. And early in this book, around chapter 5, he records the longest recorded message that we have of Jesus. It's famously known as the Sermon on the Mount, or I like to think about it, the upside-down sermon that made people literally flip over in their minds. They were scratching their heads so much because of the things that Jesus was saying. And when he got to verse 14, it was still tripping people up. When he said this, and this is where we'll begin, he says this, "You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world." Imagine him pointing to all the different people sitting in the grass. "You're the light of the world. You're the light of the world. You're the light of the world." And some people were like, "Is he talking to me? I'm the light of the world? I mean, last time I checked, I'm not the moon. I'm not the stars. I'm not the sun. I'm not on fire. What do you mean I am the light of the world?" And Jesus would later in his time here on earth connect that thought even more, because then he said to everyone, "Look it, I am the light of the world." He said that he was the light of the world. And he also talked about how after he would die for the sins of the world, and that he would rise again, and then he would ascend and go back to heaven. And when he did, he would then send back a helper, which is his Spirit. And he talked about the idea of when he sends back the Spirit to earth, that all of us who believe and put our faith and trust in him, that we're given the gift of his Spirit that literally lives inside of us. And so when we trust Jesus with our lives, the Holy Spirit of the living God resides in us. So the light of the world is now living inside of us. True ultimate joy is now residing in us, which makes me ask you the question, wherever you're watching, do you have that light? Have you given your life to Jesus? Have you allowed the light of the world to shine his light in your life? Do you truly have the joy of the Lord in your life? He's offering that to you. And my hope is for the rest of this time that will kind of make you lean in a little bit today. It'll make you kind of feel like you're missing out if you don't have it. And I want you to know that God is offering you that light today. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You have the ability to have the light of the world in your life. It's incredible. Let's keep going. Matthew 5:14, it keeps going. "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine." The issue is sometimes, though, if you're like me, it's really easy for us to hide that light from shining out of us. Because we're supposed to illuminate that light to light up the ultimate light. But it's really easy for us sometimes to hide that light that is inside of us that we're supposed to shine out of our lives. And there's many different reasons, but this week I was thinking about three of the areas that could happen in my life or that I've seen in other people's lives. The first one is this, is busy. I mean, sometimes we hide the light, the joy inside of us, because we're just flat out too busy. We're running around with our heads cut off all the time, and we're just too busy to shine the light. Whether it's our workplace, our family, our schoolwork, our hobbies, our kids' hobbies. Check this one out, even serving. Sometimes we can even be serving, doing good things, serving our city, serving our church, and yet we're so busy that it can also mean that we're hiding our light even in the midst of service. I think about even myself this week. I was running around so busy trying to get everything done and even trying to get this talk done. And as I'm getting this talk done, my light, my joy was being hidden because I was so engulfed in what I was trying to do to get done, and I was missing opportunities. I think of the story of Mary and Martha. Martha invited Jesus into her home, and when Jesus was there in her home, Martha was running around everywhere, busy bee, trying to get everything just so, just perfect. And she got frustrated because Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus just hanging out, saying, "Hey, Mary, why don't you help me?" And then Jesus reminded Martha, "Hey, you're missing the point. You're busy, busy, busy." You're missing the point of what's right in front of you. Sometimes we hide our light because we're just so stinking busy. Here's a question for you. How might busyness be potentially hiding your light from shining in a dark world that so desperately needs to see it? How might busyness be potentially hiding your light from shining in a dark world? Maybe it's not just busy, but maybe for you it could be apathy. I mean, come on. You just maybe flat out don't care. Your priority isn't the priority of God right now in your life, and you just literally flat out don't care. And we all have our days, right? I mean, we all have our days where apathy just kind of overwhelms us, where we're just kind of done. You know, I think about as a parent with my kids, I'm just like, okay, just go watch another show for crying out loud. Or for those of you that are married, it's like, all right, hon, just do your own thing, okay? I'm done. Or maybe in your job, it's just you're so frustrated and you can just get apathetic by the things that are going on. I mean, I've resigned from Miles City multiple times. I just haven't told anyone except for Jen. I mean, we all have those times in our lives where we're just kind of apathetic about it. But what's dangerous is when we allow that apathy to string out over days, over months, over weeks, over years. It reminds me of when we talked about in the book of Revelation months ago, in Revelation chapter 3 of the church of Laodicea, where it says that they were neither cold nor hot, but they were lukewarm, so much so that God wanted to spit it out of his mouth. And that's where it's dangerous if we allow apathy for so long in our lives to hide our light. So, question, how might apathy be potentially hiding your light from shining in a dark world? How might apathy be potentially hiding your light from shining in a dark world? What about this one? Embarrassment. You're just embarrassed. Maybe you're literally embarrassed to be a Jesus follower. Maybe because of you're afraid of what people might think. And if that's you, if you're a Jesus follower and you're embarrassed by that, that's a problem. And I want to encourage you with a really important truth that Paul reminds us of in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, where he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes." This word power in the original language is dunamis, which is this idea of dynamite, where we get the word dynamite. We have the power of the living God that changes everything, that offers eternal life. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. There's nothing to be ashamed about. We walk around with that badge of Jesus on our lives, on our hearts, with great, great pride. Maybe for you, the word embarrassed isn't the idea of, well, I'm not embarrassed by Jesus, but maybe you feel like sometimes you're embarrassed to defend Jesus because you feel like you don't know what to say, and it gives you anxiety because you're like, well, I don't know what to say, and I get kind of embarrassed, so I'm just going to hide that. I'm not going to talk about it with anyone because I just need to keep it to myself. I'm going to keep that joy to myself. And I just want to remind you that we live in the information age, and there are so many tools to help us defend our faith and share our faith with others. My favorite one is Dare to Share. You can just go on their website, Dare to Share, and it's a great tool to help us share our faith. There's so many. Maybe you're too busy. Maybe you're too apathetic. But come on, it's so important. If you don't have a method and you don't have it memorized in your brain to give a defense and to share the hope that God has given you, that's a problem that needs to be fixed. So how might embarrassment be potentially hiding your light from shining in a dark world? Let's continue. It says this, "Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. Don't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it." You think about this light or a light on a lampstand. It's vulnerable, right? From the elements, from the wind, from the rain. It can just go out so quick. But I got to tell you something. I got a little theological beef with whoever wrote, we don't know who wrote This Little Light of Mine. No one knows who actually wrote the song. But, you know, the theology of don't let Satan blow it out, I got a little issue with that. Because here's the deal. When you give your life to Jesus, He can't blow out the light inside of you. But what he can do is he can dim down the light inside of you, and he can dim down the light that's illuminating out from your life. And so what might be dimming your light? How might Satan be dimming your light that God has given you? And I think, like, the obvious one, sin, right? I mean, whatever that is for you, whatever the struggle is for you, whether it's right, we can be so easily, Hebrews 12 talks about how easily we can get tripped up and entangled within our sin, whether it be bitterness, whether it be anger, resentment, lust, envy, pride, the list goes on and on and on and on, and how the enemy just right, it just uses that darkness to cast a shadow over our light. And you know that feeling when you mess up, when you royally screw up, and then you try maybe in that day or in that week to kind of show that light, to kind of spread that light, and it just feels phony. It just feels fake. I mean, for those of you that are married, right, I know for me, if things aren't going good with my wife and I, then I just feel like my light is just blah. It's just dim. I'm trying to lead a team, trying to lead people, trying to have conversations. I mean, getting up on this stage and speaking, I tell you what, I can count on my hand, because I don't like it, the amount of times where things with Jen and I weren't going good up on this stage, and being up on this stage when things weren't good with Jen and I, stinks. It's not good. I don't like it. I just feel yucky. But here's the cool thing. Here's the most amazing thing, because we have an amazing, amazing God who says that when we sin and when we mess up, that his mercies are renewed daily. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us of all our unrighteousness. Not that we take it for granted, but what a gift. And so we understand that we don't allow the enemy to keep dimming down our light when we sin. No. We confess it, we repent of it, and then we stand up in Christ, and then let that light keep shining out from us like no other. So not only is it maybe sin that can dim out our light, what is the other thing that can maybe dim out our light? That'd be circumstance, right? The different circumstances that come in and out of our lives can dim down our light. Let me give you a little example. When you see this picture, for some of you, that's making you feel really happy right now. And it's also making you feel probably a little hungry right now, right? But then when I put this picture up, we remember, closed on Sundays, you're my Chick-fil-A. And we start to realize, we might start feeling a little unhappy on Sunday because we realized it's closed. And not only are we unhappy, now we're a little hangry right now because we can't have the Chick-fil-A. It's so easy, right, for circumstances to kind of shift our thinking, to shift if we're happy or unhappy. That can happen right in our job if things are going good. That can happen with our bank account. That can happen as we see the markets going up and down. That could happen for all you single folks in the dating game or the not-so-well dating game going on. For all you singles, hang in there. Keep fighting. Keep praying for he or she. They're out there. Don't give up. Don't give up. Maybe it's the health situation going on in your life where you just, you know, you're battling, or you're battling with someone that you love so close, and those circumstances, right, can kind of shift you back and forth from happy to unhappy. Maybe it's the political temperature that we're all facing right now, right? I mean, what a year it's been, to say the least. And when we think about this next week being election week, I mean, hang on. I mean, we hope that we're going to know who the president's going to be, the vice president, and all the elected officials in this next week. Hopefully it's not going to be over the next months. We all pray. God help us, right? But even in the midst of this political situation, it's so easy for us to kind of sway our emotions based on the circumstances of the political temperature. Now, I'm going to like get a little political right here. So if you want to tune me out, if you want to just mute me for 1 minute, that, you know, that's okay. But I just want to share, just as the leader of this church, just something that I feel is really important during this season. And here it is. I think most of us can have a common agreement that it is a privilege, right, to live in our country, and it is a privilege that we have the ability to have a voice, that we have the ability to vote. When we think about countries that don't have that ability and the people that don't have a voice, and we have that. So I think we can all agree, most of us, that, man, what a gift and a privilege it is for us to have a voice. But then when it comes to how we actually vote, it's hard for us to have agreements on that. And so here's my challenge when it comes to voting. Maybe you've already voted, but if you haven't voted yet, or when you vote again, really, really important. Before you vote, pray. Pray. It's so important. Sometimes we can just be like, whatever. We need to pray and ask for discernment and do our homework. So important. Also, I learned a long time ago that I do not vote by my pocketbook. I vote through the lens of this book. I don't vote through the lens of my pocketbook, by my wallet, but I vote through the lens of this book. Last thing that I've learned over the last few years of my life is that because of the smearing that goes on of all the different candidates' character, I know now that I cannot vote based on the content of their character, but I vote based on the content and the character of the policies in which they stand for. And then I run those policies through the best of my ability, through the policies and the character of God's word. Okay, I'll leave it at that. You can call me and get mad at me later, but I just wanted to just go right there. But here's the point. Here's what I wanted to talk about when it comes to politics and when it comes to this next week with the election. The point is after the election day, some of you are going to be so happy with the results, and others of you are going to be not happy with the results. We cannot allow the circumstances of the election to affect our joy. We cannot allow the circumstances, the results of the election to affect our joy. We must remember, and I've talked about this in our church many times, there's a difference between happiness and joy. I coined this phrase a few years back, this idea of happiness comes from what's happening. There's a lot of great things that happen in the world and that we get to experience, right? That makes us happy, happy, happy. Happiness comes from what's happening. But our joy comes from what happened. Your true ultimate joy comes from what happened when the light of the world shined his light into your life. That is where your true ultimate joy comes from. And so when we wake up after election day, if you are a Jesus follower, your joy should not be shifted. Your joy should not be shifted because your allegiance is not found or lie in a president of a country. Your allegiance, my allegiance, is found in a king of the universe who holds the universe still in his hands. And so our joy isn't shaken because we are standing on the solid rock of Jesus. We have an opportunity like no other to let it shine, to shine joy, to shine light this week to a world that is so desperately in need of this light. 5:16 says this, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere we go, we have an opportunity to let our contagious joy shine for everyone to see. This world so desperately needs it. And so as people, as we walk through this next week, as we walk through this next month, and we see people that are really concerned, what do? We let it shine. We let our joy shine. We let our light shine. When people are feeling hopeless or they're feeling lost, we let it shine. When people are feeling angry, we let it shine. When people are feeling anxious or fearful or scared, we let it shine. When people are feeling disappointed, when people are feeling hurting, when people are feeling desperate, we let it shine because we understand who's in control. But maybe you're thinking, okay, well, do you even care, Travis? Do you even understand what's going on? What if people are like, do you even care? I mean, you're just going to let it shine. Listen, I mourn still in the losses. I rejoice in the victories. But you see, I'm a part of a bigger kingdom. You see, I'm part of a kingdom that's way bigger than the United States of America. I'm part of a kingdom that will never fall, that will never crumble. And I serve a king that just doesn't serve for 4 years or four more years. I serve a king that serves more than 40 years, more than 400 years, more than 4 million, 4 billion years, because he's sitting on his throne for eternity. And I hang on to that, and that centers me, and that grounds me, because I know who is in control. We got to hang on to that and let that contagious joy shock the world this week, shock the world this month, because people will step back and be like, what is different? And I want what you have. Where is that light coming from? Where is that joy coming from? Let me tell you about it. Let me tell you about it. So, how do we apply all this? What is a specific move that maybe you need to make this week in your life? Maybe for some of you, it's time for you to rejoice. It's time for you to rejoice because you've been letting that light just kind of hide inside of you and you haven't been letting it out. 1 Peter 1:8-9 says this, come on. You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. For some of you, you have been literally hiding your life under the bushel, under the basket. And maybe it's been because of busyness. Maybe it's been because of apathy or it's embarrassment. Whatever it is, you've been hiding that light, and it's time for you to rejoice and let it shine. To rejoice and let it shine. Maybe it's not just rejoice. Maybe for some of you, it's also this idea of rearrange. Rearrange what? To rearrange your thinking. To rearrange your thinking when it comes to sin and your game plan to conquer that sin or to overcome that specific sin in your life. Or it's rearranging how you are handling the circumstances that are flying at you in your life, not allowing the enemy to dim out that light. Maybe you see specific areas in your life where he's starting to just dim out that light, and it's time to just get out of that situation, get out of that funk, and rearrange your mind so that your light can just illuminate brighter and brighter and brighter. Maybe it's not just rejoice or rearrange, but maybe it's also this idea of receive. Because if you're honest, you've been listening, and you realize that you don't really have a real light to shine because you haven't allowed the light of the world to shine upon your life. And for you today, the move is to receive the light into your life. I want you to just hang on to this verse in John chapter 12 when Jesus says this. I need you to just let this sink in. Walk in the light while you can, so the darkness will not overtake you. Those who walk in the darkness cannot see where they're going. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You feel like you're literally walking around in this world and you're bumping into things. You can't see anything because you're walking in the dark. What does it say? Put your trust in the light who is Jesus, the light of the world. And then it says this, while there is still time, while there is still time, then you will become children of light. While there's still time. Because at some point, there won't be any more opportunity. There won't be a time for you to receive the light. And right now, the creator of the universe is calling out to you to say, receive my light into your life. Let me be the God of your life. Let me take care of your sin problem once and for all. I did it because I died for you and I rose again for you. And your simple trust in me will cancel and pay for your sin and will not only give you my light inside of you, it will give you ultimate joy and eternal life. You don't want to miss this, because again, there'll be a day. We're not guaranteed tomorrow where you won't have this opportunity. And then your life will be stuck for eternity in darkness. You don't want that. And so, if you realize that today, and you want to receive the light of Jesus in your life, I want to give you that opportunity right now. So wherever you're watching, I just want to invite you. You can close your eyes. You can leave them open. You can put your hands out like this. You can get on your knees. And I'm just going to lead you through a prayer. And here's what the prayer says. Just say this and make it your own. Just say, "Here I am, God. I don't have all the answers, but I confess my sins to you. I believe that you, Jesus, are God. Thank you for dying in my place to pay for my sin. Thank you for rising again for me. I lower my pride and surrender my life to you. Right now, I receive you, Jesus, into my life." As we continue to pray, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it and you trusted Jesus, you have his light now living inside of you. You now have that inexpressible joy in you that you can now shine off and illuminate to the world. What a gift. What a joy. For those of you watching, if you made that decision, we don't want you to walk alone. We want to celebrate with you. We want to answer any questions that you still might have. And so you can just text the word to the number that's on the screen, and we'd love to have a real conversation with you.